Hello there. Are you sure you're in the right place? See the name on the door? This podcast is Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. Surely you don't want to come in here. You do. Well, I must warn you that things are pretty adult in here. Absolutely no children are allowed. Obscene language, shocking and horrendous stories to chill you to your core, and terrifying tales that'll keep you up at night. The ladies inside aren't quite right. Lovely and hilarious, but very strange. Still want in, do you? Well, you'll get what you're here for. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. I'm Emma.
I'm Tash.
And I'm Becky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. You ladies all right?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Hang on. I'm shuffling.
Okay.
Oh, you moved really
Every
fast.
Every day I'm shuffling.
I can't remember that, actually. Oh, yes, I can. I've got it now back in my head.
Sorry. Forever.
It's in there forever.
In my head for years.
What was that song where everyone would like dance and then they'd be like dressed up?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was like trend, wasn't it?
It was something shuffle, wasn't it? The something shuffle.
I don't know. It's very weird. I don't know why I'm thinking about it. I can see the videos of people.
Oh, that's going to do my head in because it was a massive trend. Loads of people were doing it. It starts off slow and then everybody goes manic with costumes and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, the Harlem Shake.
Oh, the Harlem Shake! Yeah.
Because we wanted to do one, didn't we? But we never did it.
At the pub, do you remember?
Oh, mate, yes!
For some reason, I've always remembered this. And you were like, I wanna be the one humping a stuffed tiger. I
remember. Emma?
I think your brother, and then your brother-in-law was like, I want to be the one dressed as a stuffed tiger then. Something like that.
Who said that? Me?
You said, I want to be the one dry humping a stuffed tiger. And then your brother-in-law was like, Bagsy dressed in as a stuffed tiger.
That's
Hold
so
on.
Gross.
Hold on. Was he her brother-in-law at the time?
No.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Oh, but I don't know, it just lives rent-free in my head, does that moment. It's so funny.
Oh, that is weird.
He wasn't even there and he just came in. He was like, bags of dressing as stuffed tiger and then walked away.
God, those days.
So funny.
How fun were those days? Yeah.
They were very fun. Out to say, anything good happened?
Still got a broken arm.
Well, yeah, it doesn't fix itself in that quick. I'm afraid.
Went and got a wax today. That's as exciting as my life gets.
What did you wax?
My vagina.
Nice days are coming.
So I was walking down the road. It's only in my village. And
you tripped over your pubes, so you had to go get them waxed.
Yeah, I was like,
again,
that is too long. And I was talking about it with my friend, and she was like, oh, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'm going to get a wax. And then I looked around, like, really shadily. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, just seeing who's about before I tell you what I'm getting waxed.
I'm getting my vagina waxed.
But actually, like to say, it I didn't get my vagina waxed because that's the inside bit. It's not hairy.
If we're going to be correct.
So I got my vulva waxed. So the fun thing about that, so she did it. And it's like, fine. If you haven't done it, do it. You know, it's fine. Unless you don't want to remove your hair, and that's also fine. You do you, boo.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what do you do about the back bit? And I just felt so awkward. I was like, I don't know.
Is there any? Is there a tuft?
I was like, no, it's fine at the back. Thank you.
I keep it like those cars that have those, what are they called? Spoilers on the back.
Spoiler.
Yeah, so
a little windbreak.
It's just an awkward question, isn't it? Like, oh,
Do we have hairy buttholes?
Not really, no.
Well, she always says, oh, there's not a lot, or there's not barely anything when she says, but that's not the case the other way around. It's not the case at the front.
Yeah. Anyway, that was fun. Yeah. Welcome to... Yeah.
But actually, yeah. Whilst we're on that, I know we don't do Tinder with Tash, but this has reminded me of a Tinder with Tash thing. So I was not like seeing as in like it was going to be a relationship, but I was having regular rendezvous with this guy, and he asked if he could wax me, and he said that was one of his fantasies, and I politely declined.
Yeah.
And didn't see him again.
Well, what, he wanted a bikini, to give you a bikini wax, or like a
he was like, grow it out. He's like, grow it out, and I want to wax it all off for you.
I mean, a kink's a kink. That's a weird one.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Wow. I don't want to yuck someone else's yum.
It was weird.
Yuck somebody else's yum? I've never heard that.
Have you never heard that before? I love that.
I don't want to yuck someone else's yum. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened very quickly to me today. I'm going on holiday, well, from tomorrow. So I was looking, because I'm quirky and cool, I wanted to look up a funny out of office reply.
Nice.
So I typed into chat JPT, asked something like, can you put a funny yet professional out of office reply? And it was, he put an office reply as if I was a pirate. And it went, oi, oi, me hearties. I be sailing the high seas. And I was, it was so funny.
Have
and
you
I was
used
like,
it?
Oh my God. No, I cowered out and I just put like a typical one. But that I did include like a little picture of someone on a beach.
Lovely.
But... How whimsical.
And quirky.
Yeah.
That's what they'll think of her. They go, oh, that Becky, she's so whimsical quirky. And quirky.
I did put at the end something like, oh, I'll read your reply when I get back, and then put, hasta la vista, baby. And then underneath, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the words of Arnie, hasta la vista, baby. And then I had to look up what that actually meant, and it does mean see you soon. I didn't want it to be like, see you never again. Yeah. But anyway, that was the height of my week.
Right. I need your opinions on this, because I think what I did was fair enough. Ben thinks it was beyond weird, and he doesn't want to be seen in public with me ever again.
Hold on. Are you now going to be the quirky one?
Yeah.
Don't steal that bad.
I'm not as quirky as a beach pit on a work email out of office.
The quirkiness of the pirate was too quirky. And no, but then again, just I didn't want to be quirky with my reply.
You wanted to be quirky, not eccentric.
I wanted people to read it and be like, she's funny, and I bet she's fun.
Yeah.
But in a professional way.
See, she can be quirky. Can I be the eccentric one then? I feel...
Go on, tell me what's happening.
I was on holiday last week, and we took one of our dogs, because he's a problematic little thing. He's just a sausage dog, but he's got an attitude on him, so I didn't want to leave him with the pet sitter, so he came with us.
He's got short man syndrome, yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh, bless him.
He's a Doberman in a sausage dog's body. Anyway, he's adorable. He's a beautiful-looking dog. He's long-haired, like gingery brown, very nice-looking dog.
He's cute. Very cute.
He is cute. But he's... fur is very thin, and because he's so low to the ground, because it's not very warm at the minute, when he goes out, he has a coat on.
Yeah, cute. Oh. We have coats.
Yeah, he had a very fetching beige coat with like a sheepskin collar. It was very
nice.
What's the word? Country living type jacket.
Nice.
So we're walking around the campsite, and there's a group of teenagers. I don't know. There was probably about 10 of them. I'd say 14, 15. We walk past, and I'm talking to Hero, my dog, in English, saying, come on, leave them, be a good boy. So they've obviously thought, oh, she's English. And one of them thought he was going to be really cool and make all his mates laugh by going, oh, look, a cat. in French, not realizing that I could understand. And I took offense that he was
talking shit about your dog.
He was shit talking my dog, right? So I just looked at him.
Where is this going?
I looked at him and I went, meow.
Hey, mate, that's not what I was expecting. No. Oh my God. I really thought
you were going to say something like, the pussy's you, mate, or something like that.
Ben said, why didn't you just say something like, you should have just turned to French and gone, oh, you need to go back to school if you think that he's a cat, or, you know. And I was like, yes, that would have been a better response. But at the time, I was just like, I need to show him that I understood. Meow. That was what came out.
I don't think we would have been friends at school. Can't believe, what did they do? I'm so embarrassed.
But then the guy that had said it just kind of looked at me and they kind of walked off. It just went silent and they just walked off.
Did you see them the rest of the time?
No,
you were
I
there?
Didn't see them again. But Ben,
oh, thank God.
Ben was like, but don't you think that was a valid reaction?
No, I think you should have said, c'est toi la chatte. Like, I think you should have said something like that.
Yeah, but that, it's not quick enough.
No.
And then I probably would have said, au moins j'ai déjà vu une chatte. So it says, ouais, que t'as jamais vu une vraie chatte.
Never seen a pussy up yet.
Yeah, but then again, I would have figured that one out 20 minutes after.
Exactly.
After just, like, not saying anything.
Exactly my point.
I would have just been like, teenagers, ugh.
I probably just would have head down, pretended that I didn't speak French.
Yeah, didn't spend that, I didn't see him.
Teenagers are intimidating.
Well, I got annoyed that they were shit-talking my dog, so I meowed and hissed at them, okay?
Listen, you've got your dog's back, and that's all that matters.
Oh, Emma, I love you so much.
Don't take the piss out my dog.
That's so funny.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Never would have I guessed that reaction.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that either.
That I hiss at children. I mean, I wouldn't have said that about myself either, but there we go.
Oh, 15 isn't a child, really. It's teenagers, not child.
Yeah, then, no, if it had been a little kid, I would have just giggled along, but I was like, you're purposely talking in a language that you don't think I understand and insulting my gorgeous dog who is very trendily dressed,
very cute,
so fuck off.
Oh, I really want a picture. You please have to post a picture of his little coat.
Yes, I will do. Anyway, shall we move on from me hissing?
Yeah.
So what's the opinion? Too much?
Yeah but it's done now. Just too much, because if you'd have seen them any other time of the holiday, they definitely would have meowed at you every time, and that's
I like to think that they actually probably went away thinking there's an absolutely fucking mental woman in the campsite.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're like.
All that.
Oh,
yeah.
But we don't have to get
them. They've gone and told everyone.
Yeah, let's behave ourselves.
Probably go back to the campsite next year and there's a picture of you hissing cat lady.
Meow. I don't know why I do the things I do.
Well, listen, no one we all do it. Crazy shit, don't we?
Yeah.
It wasn't filmed. It was fine.
No, I've just told the whole world about it. But anyway.
I mean, I've just told the whole world about my wax. So there we go.
You can't give me any shit for accidentally calling my husband Papa.
We're never not going to give you shit for that.
I just don't find it a problem. I did it again earlier and I was like, whoops. And the kids aren't even here. I just think I'm one of those people. It's not
that
sexual
call their
for
husband
me,
daddy.
You know, it's just usually because everyone else calls him daddy. So
hey, why did you bring it up? Because now it's awkward because you can't talk your way out of this.
Listen, Tash, listen, let's not yuck her yum, okay?
We're not going to yuck your yum.
Can we get on to serious things now?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. I've got some serious stuff to do.
Well, it's gross.
Is it me starting?
No, Tasha's got gross stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gross. Yeah. Play the music.
Yeah. Play that jingle. This is so gross.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, I feel really sick. that's a no from me. It's disgusting. Oh. So this week, and probably next, is all about gross things that we've seen men do.
Oh.
And I would like to elaborate, as always, these are not gross things that I have particularly seen men do, but I will read it as if it was me.
I do think, to be fair, afterwards you've got to find a segment that's gross things that women do.
That is my plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
My husband used to poo in the shower. Like, he literally squatted over the drain, spread his cheeks and shit.
What? How? Well, I mean, that's not going to go down the shower drain.
Some of the drains in showers are quite big, aren't they? Like, mine it wouldn't, because mine's in the plug. But, like, some are quite...
No, a shower drain's supposed to be there to, like, catch all
no,
hair
and
stuff.
No, but I think you can pull out the plug, can't you? So when you pull the plug
that's
out
disgusting.
To clean...
That's a lot
I mean,
of,
it's disgusting.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's disgusting.
That's absolutely vile. I mean, that would be a big... I'm leaving you.
At what point...
Did he discover that?
But also, yeah, why is he doing that on a regular... Like, do you know what? I'm not saying I would do it, but if you're, like, if you're sick and you got, like, DMV...
Yeah, but after the fact...
Why are you...
After the fact, to clean yourself up.
You just don't understand, yeah. Maybe he likes the sensation of hot water on him when he's
shower.
Shitting.
You smell... Your shower will smell.
Yeah, it would really it smell because hot water on...
And who wants to go and wash yourself somewhere that...
Yeah, it's very confusing, so don't do that.
We've all washed one of our children after the
yeah, but then you like clean the bath,
and it's not fun. And it you clean the bath or clean the shower, but still, the first when the first hot water jet hits, it stinks. It's horrible.
It's disgusting.
Ugh.
That is indeed gross, and I am yucking his yum. I'm yucking.
Yeah,
I'm definitely yucking. Double yuck.
Double yuck.
Okay, next one. My husband had a...
Oh, do we have no explanation? We have nothing.
Well, what do you
that's
want?
It.
What more
You're
do you want?
Throw that at us.
He likes to shit in the shower.
Why is he doing
because
it?
Because he's fucking disgusting.
Go on then. Next one then.
My husband had a wart on the bottom of his foot. He used to shave it down with a knife and chew on the piece he'd cut off.
Mm-mm. No, come on now. Why? That, no.
It was a corn. One of those hard things on the bottom.
No,
of
I think it could be a wart.
Well, like a verruca.
Why are these women or other men, why are these people staying with these people that have done this?
How do these people get partners? Is that what you mean?
Why? How? Like, you shave... Okay, fair enough. You've got to shave your wart down. Whatever. That's gross. Go in the bathroom. Do it in private. Put it
that's
in the fucking
the thing,
bin.
Isn't it? Surely these are things we do in private. We all do mildly
chewing
gross
on a wart. That's disgusting.
I've chewed on my nail or possibly even a toenail, but I'm not on a wart.
At what point are we that comfortable in a relationship that we're doing stuff like this?
That I'm... Cutting my wart off and eating
disgusting.
It. Like, oh, look at this.
That's a complete romance killer. It's
so much so. Are you ready?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Ready as I'll ever be.
When I was in a boot camp, there was this guy who would pick at his pimples and eat the pus and the stuff that would go on his fingers.
No.
Again, this is a private activity, people. Why are we doing this in public?
But why are we doing it in public? Why are we doing that
at all?
Well, quite.
Why?
Put surely that's a safety hazard as well. Yeah. Like, that's infection and, like,
yeah, it is.
Bacteria and...
The faces I am pulling. Yeah.
When we were younger, my brother used to smell and taste the dirt and gunk that would come out of his toenails when he cut them.
That's not bad.
The dirt
I do that.
And gunk.
I do that.
What do you mean? You smell it.
Yeah.
What's underneath your toenails?
You know, like on the side of your toenails, you get like...
Dead skin.
Fluff. Yeah, dead skin and fluff
does
and
it
stuff.
Smell?
And when I... Yeah, it stinks.
But then again, do you do it like right in front of Ben and we're like, oh, Ben, smell this?
Of course not.
No, but
of
she's now just told shitloads of people on the internet.
That. Yes, but it's not the same as actually watching me do it.
On next week's episode, it's not... watch Emma do it.
That's gross.
Maybe I'll cut that out.
No, I think a lot of people must do it. They just don't admit to it. That's all. You're just brave.
No filter.
I was cleaning the other day and I found a large pile of nail clippings between the couch and our wall. Apparently, my husband has been collecting his disgustingly long toenail clippings. Again, why? Like, I've got two questions about this, which we're going to get no answers to. How infrequently is it being hoovered there? But also, how frequently is he cutting his toenails for that to collect?
Well, obviously not. She's obviously not hoovering there very often, which I understand. There's corners of my house that never get hoovered because they're inconvenient to reach. And if they're long toenails, then yeah, he's not doing it very frequently. The real question here is, why the fuck aren't you going outside or in your bathroom near the fucking bin?
You an outside nail clipper?
I'll do it on a bath mat next to the bin. And I will chop and get the nail, put it in a bin. Chop, get the nail, put it in a bin.
I don't do that, I'll admit.
I'll probably just do it on the sofa.
On the sofa or in my bed and just they'll just fling everywhere. But
yeah, but then you'll hoover.
Yeah, and then so I hoover. Fine. But then also arguably I go and get a pedicure done, so I don't even cut my own toenails anymore. So the lady does.
Oh God, you're so posh with your waxing and your pedicures. Yeah. And there's just me on my bath mat putting away, giving it a sniff.
I'm just really high maintenance, babe. I just like want to see my own nails. My husband wipes his bogeys on his Xbox controller until the pile becomes so big that it either falls off by itself or I notice it and badger him to clean it off.
That's making my stomach churn. That's disgusting. That's on a par of shitting in the shower, that is. That's disgusting.
I actually want to cry. Why are bogeys so disgusting?
I've got a that's gross and hilarious from Mr. October.
Ooh, hello, Ed.
A lovely doorman. He sent this and he was like, oh, would this be any good? I was like, yes. It's very
give
quick.
Give me. Come to mummy.
Here she goes again.
Getting a bit carried away.
Hubby likes shoving soft-boiled eggs up my vagina. I can hold three. And then I squat down and lay the eggs like a hen, and hubby will eat them coated with my juices.
Can we get off now?
can we just stop the podcast
can
now?
Can we just stop the planet? That's not okay.
I want to go home. Yeah. I'm already home, but I want to go home.
That's a kink, isn't it?
That's definitely a
kink. I'm yucking that yum.
I think top marks for creativity, though, because you've got this kink of, like, your wife laying eggs on
laying
you,
eggs.
And then you're like, how can I make this happen in a safe way? And
at least they're hard-boiled.
They're hard-boiled.
Yeah. They have to be safe, no salmonella.
Actually, I think exploring with food is probably quite a normal.
But fucking egg.
Yeah. It's not sexy
egg
food,
stinks.
Is it? Yeah.
Imagine how you whiff your fanny after that.
It's no ice cream or squirty cream, is it? You know?
No. Yeah. I mean, keep it sweet, at least. I know that sweet stuff is sticky, but I'd rather have a sticky fanny than an eggy fanny.
Hard boiled egg covered in lady juice.
Like if we're doing stuff like this, can we do it instantly? Squirty cream on, lick it off, like done. like a day. Let's not wait.
What, we'd melt?
Yeah. Hey, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And the egg thing—that is a kink. People are into that. You can get dildos that all. Shoot eggs up, yeah.
Eggs.
Actual eggs.
Eggs feels weird. They just smell, don't they, eggs?
No, but like not eggs. These are like silicone eggs that come with the dildo.
Oh.
And the dildo shoots eggs.
Well, I assume you put the dildo up and there must be some sort of contraption that makes the egg come out the end. Because some people's kink is for them to be impregnated by an alien.
Holy shit. Okay, let's...
And you know...
let's move on. It's too
this
much.
This is conversation for the cope. Podcast.
I can't cope. I can't cope. Right. Becky.
Yes.
Hit us with your murder stick.
What was that voice? That was Satan. Why is Satan
just
here?
Excited.
Right.
Left.
Fuck me. This week, I've done something a little bit different because...
You're quirky and whimsical.
Fuck off. Because I was depressed and didn't want to do Blood of Murder. And I was really stressed and I got myself all worked up. And then I thought, oh, I can't ever do anything funny because it's not funny. And it still isn't, but it's just a little bit better this week. So I've done something different. You'll see as I start reading. So, nestled in the southern eastern corner of the United States lies Florida, a state renowned for its unique blend of cultures, landscapes, and eccentric people. From the vibrant Art Deco...
I bet they hiss at people. I bet they do.
No one would think it's weird there, would they?
Emma's the Florida of France.
What? Floridian. Yeah, I should have been a Floridian.
Floridian Emma. Don't insult her dogs. If not, Floridian Emma will come out and hiss. If you ever become famous, someone might recreate that. It's so funny. Oh dear. So, from the vibrant Art Deco architecture of Miami to the tranquil swamps of the Everglades, Florida captivates visitors with its diverse offerings. But what truly sets Florida apart is its status as a quasi-independent entity within the American mosaic. So, it's got its own distinct like identity, climate, and even its own dialect. Florida often feels more like a separate country than just another state. And I'm sure most Americans would agree that Florida's kind of on its own with the stuff that goes on there. And it's like their own little world because everything, the way that the justice system is, like all the cases that go to court, you can just look everything up online. It's all kind of really open.
Right.
Whereas, for example, in France, it's not the way, and in a lot of states, it's not that way either. So I thought we'd delve into what makes Florida such a fascinating slice of America. And when I think of Florida, I can't help but think of the Florida Man stories. So the Florida Man story is a particular phenomenon that has captured the imagination of internet users worldwide. With their bizarre headlines, from the bizarre to the downright absurd escapades of the Florida Man. So I thought we'd explore the curious world of the Florida Man stories. So instead of doing one case, I've decided to do quite a few Florida Man stories with their weird headlines and just try and get into it a little bit more.
I'm excited for this.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because did you ever do the thing when everyone was doing, we looked up Florida Man on your birthday?
I remember that trend. I can't remember if I did it.
I think we did it a lot in 2020, I think, the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
When we were all stuck inside.
And bored. We were bored.
And we were bored and doing quizzes online. And Emma was sending us pictures of anuses.
God, you're really outing me today, Becky, aren't you?
you know why I know about the eggs? The egg laying thing is, again, some weird dildo thing that you sent me once, and I had a deep dive looking at these weird dildos.
Look at dildos.
I was like, that one lays eggs. Why? And I looked into why people go to get those. Right, so first Florida Man story.
Go on.
We're starting off with a longer one, and then we get like shorter and shorter as we go, and a little bit more eccentric. So the first one is, Florida man allegedly fooled family into believing his murdered wife was still alive. Shelby Svensson admitted to killing his wife, Jamie Ivanek, but only after he was arrested for also killing three other family members. Authorities believe Ivanek may have been dead for up to a year, but Shelby Svensson had convinced her friends and family that she was still alive by texting and sending photos to them all, and then photos of the couple's two young children from her phone, and telling them that she was unable to talk over the phone, but she was just texting. Which is possible, because most of the time, I don't really call anyone apart from you guys.
Yeah, but Becky, you go to work, and you are seen.
I know. Thank you. I am seen.
You are seen. We see you.
That's wild to not be seen for a year, though.
And everybody's like, yeah, it's fine.
Well, not really, because her parents and brother were found dead in their property in Tarpon Springs, Florida, on New Year's Day. They were found dead because they were asking too many questions, the fact that Jamie had gone missing. So what he'd done is he must have gone over to see them. They'd been saying, no, we want to see you, to their daughter, we want to see you again and again. And he just went over and killed them to hide his crime again, even more.
Holy shit. I'll just murder more people to cover up the murder.
Yeah.
I'll just create more murder.
Yeah, more murder. And then I'll have to murder more people again and again to cover up more murder.
It seems like a murder loop.
Yeah. So they were found on New Year's Day, and Svensson was arrested 2 days later while he was driving his murdered mother-in-law's SUV. He's currently awaiting extradition from Ohio to Florida, so back to stand trial. During interrogation regarding the triple murder, Svensson also admitted to killing his wife. So that's when they realised that his wife's also missing. She was 21 at the time. And he buried her body in the backyard of their previous residence in Port Richey, Florida. The Paso County Police Department excavated the backyard and found her remains.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. What an asshole.
Why did he kill her?
Her cause of death was violent blunt force trauma. And the police are still investigating the events that led up to her death. At this point, we just don't know. And whether the couple's two young children were present at the time of the murder. The children were in the car with Svensson when he was arrested. So the kids were fine, at least.
At least, yeah.
The most important thing is that we know the children are safe.
Sorry, did you do this story to cheer yourself up?
No, I said it starts like this. And then, well, I thought I have to give you some murder. And then it'll get a little, I'm not saying that they're all cool, kooky stories. But I thought, oh, I have to give you some murder. That's what we're here for. So the kids are currently in foster care and everything's still going through the courts at the minute. So this was in 2019. And the last time that anyone spoke to Jamie was January 25th, 2018, when she had a FaceTime call with her sister. Since then, Svensson was able to deflect attempts to speak with his wife. Just to keep up appearances.
God, a year, though, without talking to her sister. Her sister must have been like, something weird is happening here.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Florida man tried to run a microwave inside a microwave. The man died after an explosion.
He what?
He had a little microwave, which he put inside a big microwave, and then it exploded, and he died.
Oh, that was silly.
Who knew that was going to blow up?
A Florida man's life ended in a very interesting way. A man named Bill Davis put his microwave oven inside another microwave oven and died as a result. Davis at the time was on a video call with his friends because this was 2020.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
2020, the year we all went fucking nuts, apparently.
Nuts, yeah. So he was on a video call with his friends and suddenly decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a microwave inside a microwave. This will be fun and a good experiment. Also, do they not realise that microwaves have metal in it and we all know not to put metal in a microwave?
Yeah, but maybe he just thought that that didn't count if it was a microwave inside a microwave.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought one cancelled out the other, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what this man thought. He put a microwave in a microwave.
And do you know what? We'll never know because he's dead.
Michael, who was on the video call with Davis, said about the incident, "I didn't think Davis would do this. He was someone that would do anything to entertain those around him." And someone else that was on the video call, Tiago, said, "The microwave oven worked for 4 minutes and 20 seconds. So that's a lot longer than what I thought.
It feels long enough to be like, oh, well, that worked. Let's stop it.
Because there would have been, you know, when something's a bit, you know, when you put a dish that shouldn't be in the microwave and it does that cracking popping sound.
Like a gold leaf around it. One of those normal,
There's noises that make you aware that you shouldn't probably, you should probably take it
out. Maybe it was
out.
Just hearing the double, you know, the microwave noise that looks like, ooh, he was just hearing that twice. Ooh.
Yeah. How big was the big one?
It must
one?
Have been like turkey sized.
Massive. Yeah.
When I mean turkey.
Well, maybe the small one was really small.
That's very sad.
Yeah, it is very sad that he died. But he says the microwave,
it's just a silly way to die as well. I mean, it's not like...
Well, it was a pointless. It was pointless.
Yeah. His family would have been like, oh, how did he die?
He put a microwave. He died from microwave inception.
You know how he was. He loved to
entertain. He loved microwaving. So Tiago, who was also present on the call, said the microwave oven worked for 4 minutes, 20 seconds, and we were having a lot of fun. After the explosion, the meeting ended and we all stopped laughing.
Well, yeah, no shit.
That's sad. R.I.P., R.I.P.
That was sad.
He went out laughing. He went out swinging. He went out microwaving.
He did. But he took the time to take down the time it took before explosion.
Obviously, Tiago was this top watch guy. Michael was just rolling around on the floor.
Scientific reference. We've got it now. 4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah, how do you make a bomb out of a microwave? Well, 4 minutes, 20 seconds, that's all we need.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm also with Tash. I don't understand how small the little microwave was and how big the big one was. Because they're aren't they all the same size? Ish.
Well, obviously not.
The baby microwave. I wonder if it was a kid's one.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Florida man doesn't get a straw, so he attacks McDonald's employee.
Bit rude.
So, this one is, there is a video of this one, but obviously we won't share it because it's not very nice. Well, still people getting attacked. So, on the video, you see a customer identified by police as Daniel Taylor yelling at an employee called Yasmin James before reaching over the counter and grabbing her by the shirt, pulling her towards him. So she starts smacking him, like trying to get him to stop. Two other employees then start intervening. Following the altercation, Taylor can be heard saying that he wants the employee fired, with the employee shouting back that he would be going to jail. The customer is also heard claiming that he was just wanting to ask her a question. Well, that's a funny way of asking someone a question, is pulling them over. Because this guy was like a whole head and shoulders taller than this girl as well. He was like huge compared to her. Taylor continued to yell at the McDonald's employees and was asked to leave by the manager. On his way out, he kicked another employee that was standing by the door.
Just free. Here you go. Have it.
All that for a straw.
Yeah. So apparently,
a bit dramatic, isn't it?
The person that took the video of the incident saw the whole thing and they told reporters that the incident began after Taylor went over to the condiment bar and couldn't find a straw. So he went over to the counter and started yelling. And the young lady behind the counter told him that it's the law now that they can't just give one-use plastic straws out, which is the truth. You're not allowed to just have them out anymore in McDonald's. You have to have them stupid paper straws. And he was yelling and saying how stupid that is. And that's how it started. Over a straw. A Florida man was arrested on Thursday after attacking his father with a slice of pizza after discovering that he...
You couldn't write it, could you? In no way could we come up with any of these scenarios on our own.
I know. So he was arrested after attacking his father with a slice of pizza after discovering that he had helped birth him. So he had assisted at the birth.
And?
So when deputies arrived at the home of Robert Houston, 33, and put his hands behind his back, he was shouting, "I know why you're taking me. I know why you're taking me." And the deputies were like, "Why?" And he's like, "Because I threw pizza at my father." "Because he helped give birth to me." I just think, I don't know why he said it like that. He assisted the birth. He didn't give birth. He didn't shove it up his ass and push him out. He assisted the birth, which is amazing.
Don't know if you know how you give birth.
Okay. I'm very confused at the whole situation, to be fair.
The father was sat on the porch and he was waiting for his son to get home with pizza. And the son, I don't know how, but somehow he found out while he was out getting this pizza that his dad helped with the birth. And he got so angry about it that he started attacking his dad with a load of pizza. And when deputies arrived, it was a crime scene full of chunks of pizza everywhere. And it was just like spread everywhere, like all smashed on the walls. So I'm sure they'd rather it be pizza than blood. But, yeah,
absolutely. But I don't see why the police had to be called.
Well, it's a domestic, isn't it?
He was charged with domestic battery, so that's why.
With a pizza.
With a pizza.
Yeah, but have you ever put pizza in your mouth too quickly and it's so hot?
I did it with cauliflower cheese yesterday. I was like, huh, huh, huh. I always do it with the roast potatoes when we have a roast dinner, but I will not be spitting that out. I'm like, huh, 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 huh. Burning. Burning, but I'm not going to let it go. I won't spit out a potato. Never. Never. Never.
Going into your theory, hot cheese is like lava, but he's been to collect these pizzas and come home, so they've had time to cool down, so they're not.
Yeah.
Don't know, babe.
I say it's a waste of pizza.
Well, I don't want to get hit in the face with pizza.
Yeah. The crime is the waste.
Nobody's actively wanting to get attacked with a pizza.
I go out every day wanting people to attack me with pizza. I'm like,
if you girls came around for a pizza party and you got pissed off at me because I don't know, I hissed at you or something, and you threw a pizza at me, I'm not calling the coppers.
No, I'd get this. I wouldn't throw a pizza. I'd get the squirt bottle and spray you and tell you not.
Like the naughty little kitty
hiss.
I am.
Don't hiss. Stop it.
This is too much.
Right. So,
and also, why is he so cross about his father being there at the birth? Like,
I don't know. We don't get an explanation. I have no explanation for that. I don't know if he just didn't get on with his dad, but why would he bring in his dad pizza if he didn't get on with his dad? I've got two more. So they're short. Florida man breaks into a house, cleans it, and leaves behind origami.
I think nice. I think okay.
I think that's good.
I'll just leave the door open for
him. Yeah. If Mr. Nate Roman, if you want to come over to my house and clean it and leave origami, be welcome.
Breaking in without somebody being aware is weird. It's a bit creepy. Don't do that. But the rest of it, it's all right.
Yeah, could be worse. So in 2019, a man identified as Nate Roman from Marlborough, Massachusetts, USA, reported a funny incident that left many shocked. He came home, found an intruder had entered his home and cleaned everything in the house, including spreading his bed. So he changed the sheets and scrubbed the toilets. And what's even more crazy is he left behind origami roses on his toilet paper rolls. I'd think stalker.
No, if that happened I think to me. That's his like mum or auntie. That's someone doing a good deed and then they've just not claimed it, surely.
I didn't think of that.
That's just like when my aunt comes and takes the kids to school, she always makes sure that all the washing up and stuff is done. Like, lovely. So I come home and it's lovely.
Right, and last one. Florida man arrested for calling 911 after his cat was denied entry into a club. Emma? Is this Emma Florida?
How do you feel about this, Emma?
Depends on which cat I was trying to get in. No, I don't take my cats to clubs. It's not their scene.
So Everett Lage or Lages went and visited a Florida nightclub with a kitten, but officials denied access to the facility. Instead of leaving, he called 911, and when cops arrived, he was uncooperative and continued calling 911 because he wasn't happy with the first lot of cops that were sent out.
It's not quite how it works.
No, I don't like these ones. I want different.
I don't like your law. Let's just find somebody else that's a bit lawy.
Yeah, let's keep going, try again. like a game.
Yeah.
Save and turn it off, try it
people
again.
Are, and like, we're all animal people, but people are so entitled with their animals.
They can be.
We've had a note from the school saying no dogs are allowed on the school premises because people will pick their dogs up to walk around and pick up their children. And the rule is that you're not to have dogs on school premises for whatever reason. That's the rules. And we just... And the outrage from these parents was like, unreal.
But some stuff you've just got to be like, meh, okay. Leave the dog at home.
Just stay outside on the school. Stay outside the school gates. It's not that hard.
I think the man didn't like the cat very much because if you take a cat into a nightclub, it's going to be fucking terrified.
Yeah, oh.
God knows what it was on, though, Emma. He probably thought that he was taking the kitten for its best night of its life.
Maybe. Do you remember when I used to come to work with a cat in my scarf, like down my top? Do you remember? I was pulling pipes.
But to be fair, your work was below where you lived.
Yeah, but it was because the cat was, I was bottle feeding it, and she had hypothermia, so she always had to have that body heat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember how tiny she was.
But, yeah.
And then there's just a couple more of like just the headlines that were funny. There was a man, a Florida man, that ended a SWAT standoff for a slice of pizza. See, they love pizza, do these Florida guys. I just think if I was a Florida man, it's something to do with food, it'd make me cave. I'd be like, yeah, just give me a burger. One slice pepperoni pizza.
imagine like the negotiators there, they're like, right, come on,
two slices,
you've got to let these people go, how many people will it take, like what can we give you to release like two people.
Yeah. A Florida man was arrested after an argument over cheesesteak. So it's crazy. A lot of food related stuff. They
obviously are very serious about their food.
There was a Florida woman, a woman this time, charged with stealing rental car, and she said that demons took it.
They're fuckers, those demons, though, to be fair.
There was a Florida man pulled over for driving under the influence, and when he got caught with drugs in his car, he said the wind blew it in.
That's so funny.
So the darn wind is always causing trouble, especially for this Florida man. A 37-year-old from Fort Pierce was pulled over by police in October. He claimed the cocaine residue found inside a Budweiser can, along with a crack pipe, was blown in there by the wind.
It happens
all the time. I hate it when you find the crack pipe and you're like, oh, damn wind again.
A Florida woman brings meth into court and tells deputy that it's makeup. Naughty, naughty.
Smart.
Two Florida men were arrested last Friday after forcing a baby gator to drink Coors Light beer.
Oh
dude. The gator was fine.
So weird.
Oh, I can't see it now, but there was one about a Florida retirement home. I think they had, in this building, they had about 80 residents and over 60 of them all had the same STI because they were all sleeping with each other.
Oh, bless them!
It was like chlamydia or something like that, and they all had chlamydia because especially like one of them was a bit of a naughty naughty and was going around everyone. But yeah.
Well, fuck it. What else is there to do?
Golden
what
years.
What else is there to do?
Yeah. And it's
golf.
Yeah. And they're all there on the beach cooking all day. Might as well have a bit of action.
Yeah.
Living their best lives. Yeah. Well, there we are. So that's why I just wanted to do something a little bit different to not be as depressing as usual.
That actually made a very nice change. It did.
I have to do Florida woman next time.
Something a little bit more lighthearted. That's why I've gone on to stories not too ghost related at the minute, because I just got a bit like, not another poltergeist.
Poultrygeist. So,
poltergeist, yeah.
Another one.
I know. We might be back to one next week saying that, but who knows? Who knows? Not next week. I can't get used to this bi-weekly system. Thank you very much, Becky.
Thanks, Becky. You're the best. We love you.
Thank and you. As promised, my story this week is about the Mothman.
Mothman. Na 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 Mothman.
Actually called Mothman because Batman was already taken by the well-known superhero.
Oh, so is Mothman quite new or has he just got his name recently? Oh, well, we'll find out in a minute.
He appeared in the 60s, but Batman has been around for a very long time.
It was a magazine, wasn't he? So
yeah, like a comic. Mm. So the story of Point Pleasant is a strange one, as my stories tend to be. But this one has everything from extraterrestrial encounters to poltergeist activity. But mainly, this story is about when the cryptid Mothman became famous as a harbinger of doom.
Oh.
Point Pleasant is a little town in West Virginia, counting only a few thousand inhabitants at the time of these events. The kind of place that everyone knew each other and not a lot ever happened. That was all about to change, and it began November 2nd of 1966. A salesman called Woodrow Derenberger was driving along Interstate 77 about an hour away from Point Pleasant when he was stopped by a hovering car that took him over before coming to a standstill in front of him, forcing him to brake quickly. To Woodrow's disbelief, an alien-looking humanoid named Indrid Cold stepped out of his craft, approached Derenberger, and spoke to him, telepathically. Cold smiled the entire time, which gained him the nickname the Grinning Man. When he'd finished talking with the salesman, he told him they would be speaking again and left in his flying vehicle. Woodrow reported the encounter immediately, and it was met with ridicule, even though multiple other witnesses had also seen strange hovering lights in the sky that night. They were said to not, that were said to not move like any man-made craft in existence. However, the alien Cold only made himself known to Woodrow at this point.
That's terrifying, though. Imagine someone coming out of a craft and they're smiling like that, and they're talking to you telepathically. So they're like, "Hi, I'm an alien. How are you?
You're really good at that."
Yeah, a lot better than that than what I thought I was going to be, actually. I amazed myself. Did you not see the surprise in my... Hi.
Hello. I'm an alien. Oh, shit.
You're like, hello, my name. Are you snorting? Oh. Right. I hate it already. Let's go.
The salesman was just a normal guy with a normal life. A wife, two kids, a nice job. He was never known to make up weird stories like this, and so it was all very out of character, and soon became big news, putting him and his family in the spotlight. This would eventually cost him his job, and then his family as his wife left him. People thought he was losing his mind, as he never backed down, never changed his story, and in fact continued to claim that Cold would often talk to him through telepathy, announcing nothing but bad news. It's very sad that Woodrow became an outcast because of this encounter, but also gives his story more credit, as even though through losing everything, he never changed his story. Just 10 days later, five gravediggers in a town called Clendenin, again about an hour from Point Pleasant, saw something bizarre as well. As they were working, they began to notice something big shuffling about in the trees, and then it took flight in front of their eyes, and the only way they found to describe it was a man with wings, and it flew close to them as if it was to scare them on purpose. This was the first sighting of many of the Mothman.
Ugh.
3 days after that, Newell Partridge was just chilling at home about 100 miles away from Point Pleasant. He was with his dog watching TV when he heard a loud whirring noise coming from outside, and his TV switched to just white noise. The German Shepherd Bandit started barking at the door. Newell decided to go and check out what was happening outside, and as he was searching the barn, he was met by two red glowing eyes. He immediately freaked out and ran to grab his gun, but once back indoors, he realised that he was actually too afraid to go back and confront whatever was out there. He spent the night with his
gun.
Don't
blame him. I would be too.
Yeah. I would not be going outside with glowy red eyes, massive mothman. No thanks. Little moths are enough.
He spent the night with his gun by his bed, and it was only in the morning that he realised Bandit was missing. He would never see his beloved dog again.
Aww. Fluff, fluff.
That's twice in a row I've hit you with a dead dog.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm not here for the dead dogs.
A few hours later, in Point Pleasant, two couples, the Mallets and the Scarberries, were driving towards what they called the TNT area. It had been a factory during World War II and used to make and store explosives. Some of the steel bunkers still hold the explosives to this day. Anyway, as nature does, it had started to retake possession of the building, and it was surrounded by woodland, making it somewhat of a lover's lane for the youngsters of Point Pleasant. This brings us back to the two couples that were on their way there for maybe a little sexy party.
Oh.
Sexy party.
As they were pulling up to the old power plant, they all saw a very tall man with huge bat-like wings folded up behind him. Terrified, they turned around and headed back into town, doing up to 100 miles an hour on the freeway. The winged creature...
Yeah, I think I would actually wee myself. You know, just fear.
Absolute fear. Oh,
terrible.
The winged creature was keeping up with them easily, flying above the car or alongside it and looking at them with its bright red eyes through the car windows. As they approached Point Pleasant, the creature turned around and flew away. But both couples were so frightened, they reported the sighting straight away to the sheriff. As I said earlier, everyone knew everyone. So the sheriff knew to take the sighting seriously, as none of these people were the types to make stuff up. In their accounts, they said that they had passed a large dead dog in the road, but when they were driving back to town, the dog's body had vanished. It's believed that this was Newell's dog, Bandit.
Aww.
So the Mothman had got the dog, carried it off, and dropped it, and then picked it up again. It's not very nice.
Aw, poor baby.
A town meeting was called, and the inhabitants of Point Pleasant were reassured that what the couples had probably seen was nothing more than a crane. But both pairs insisted that this looked nothing like a bird. It had human legs and arms, and yes, okay, it had red eyes like cranes do, but these took up most of this thing's face to the extent that they couldn't actually make out any other features. And also its wings were not feathery like a bird, but leathery like a bat. The name Batman already been taken, the press nicknamed the creature the Mothman.
Mothman. Mothman.
So far in the area we've had Indrid Cold, the alien, multiple sightings of his craft, the gravediggers getting scared shitless from the Mothman, Newell losing his poor dog Bandit, and the Mallets and the Scarberries getting their saucy little outing ruined by being chased by the Mothman. Quite a lot of weird shit going
on,
right?
Yeah, all of a sudden as well.
Yeah.
Very weird.
All this weirdness began attracting attention from other areas, and especially from a man named John Keel, who was a famous ufologist. He arrived at Point Pleasant and began interviewing eyewitnesses. After a whole year of investigating, these accounts were in the hundreds. One account occurred the day after the Lover's Lane couples had been chased off. A red light appeared in the sky over the TNT area, close to the Thomas family's home. Their friend and neighbour drove over to theirs to see if they knew what was happening. When she got there, she got out of her car and grabbed her child that was in the back seat. As she turned around, she saw something lying on the ground. It slowly began to rise up, and she realised she was face to face with the Mothman. She ran into her friend's house, and they locked themselves inside and hid. The creature stayed for some time, pacing outside of the house and peeking through the windows, trying to find them.
Not liking pacing and stuff, it's just too scary. And I'm kind of looking at a picture of the Mothman at the same time, and it's just freaking me out.
So, yeah, the police arrived, and the sound of the car made it fly away. The Thomas's friend was called Marcella Burnett, and she was so traumatized by the event that she spent years in therapy afterwards. She also believed that the Mothman visited her at her house, as she heard it screeching coming from all around. She never felt safe again. People assumed she was making it up, even though her account was completely backed up by the Thomas family. Another household, the Lily family, that lived just south of the TNT area, began experiencing what they thought was poltergeist activity. They saw strange little lights dance around the rooms, locked doors would open, unexplained thuds could be heard from in and outside, and they heard disembodied voices. One night, their young daughter awoke to see the grinning man, Cold, stood over her, staring straight at her. She screamed and hid under her blankets, and when she dared to peep out of them, he'd gone. The terrifying phenomenon actually made the family sell up and move.
Well, I don't blame them.
At least they did that. Everyone else just stays for years and years and years and years.
Yeah. During the year that John Keel had been working on this, he had found out that most of the time the Mothman was seen, or a UFO, as these were now very regular occurrences, animals would be found mutilated in close proximity to the sightings. People also began reporting being accosted by men in black. So these are allegedly some weird government agency people sent to threaten people who have seen UFOs into not talking about it.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to that episode, go to the one back.
Yeah, just one back, we talk all about it. In the case of Point Pleasant, these men in black were definitely weird. They didn't speak properly or act normally and seemed to just appear, intimidate whoever it was they were talking to, and vanish. Their skin was apparently so very pale that you could see all their veins, and they looked like they were wearing badly applied makeup to give them a more human skin colour. Their fingers were also a lot longer than a normal person's should be, and apparently they never blinked.
Ugh.
People encountered them would call John Keel as he was desperate to confront them, but as soon as he arrived, they had, of course, left. They followed the Scarberries around, so the Scarberries are one of the couples that were in the Lover's Lane. So they're getting followed around by the men in black in a black Cadillac. They took photos of them without permission, and when Mary Scarberry's father tried talking to them, he stuck out his hand for a handshake, and they had no idea what to do. They didn't know how to shake hands. John Keel had made a friend in Point Pleasant, Mary Heyer, a reporter that worked for an Ohio paper in a town just a few miles out of Point Pleasant. She was just as interested in all the supernatural stuff that had been happening, so the two enjoyed many a conversation about the high strangeness that surrounded them. Mary Heyer had her own encounter with a man in black. It was late one evening, and the strange little man appeared in her office. He had black hair cut straight like a very bad bowl cut. He made her feel very uneasy. Ooh. He spoke strangely, and she assumed he had a speech impediment. He was asking her all about the UFO sightings when her phone rang, and as she was chatting to whoever was on the other end, he grabbed a pen from her desk, stared at it in absolute amazement like he'd never seen a pen before. He then stood up and ran away with the pen, giggling.
I don't like anything.
Pens are interesting, though. Have you ever been in a shop and you've seen a really cool pen? Come on.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, like, nick it going... She would see the strange little man once more outside in the town. When he realised she was watching him, he ran to the corner where a big black car pulled up and let him jump in before driving away. Towards the end of 1967, the sightings had calmed down, and although still present, things definitely weren't so active. So John spent less and less time in Point Pleasant. He did, however, always keep in touch with Mary. On one of his return trips, Mary picked him up from the airport and told him about a terrible nightmare she'd had, where she saw lots of people drowning surrounded by Christmas presents. It was just a normal conversation, she wasn't suggesting anything, just two friends discussing a weird dream. But what was odd is that multiple people started to say that they'd had the same ominous dream, which is definitely a little bit more concerning.
Yep.
John began having odd things happen to him too. The grinning man, Indrid Cold, began speaking to him through the telephone, telling him that he must leave Point Pleasant and not go back. Thankfully, John was away from the town in the final weeks leading up to Christmas of 1967. On December 15th, 1967, the 700-foot silver bridge crossing over the Ohio River towards Point Pleasant collapsed at 5 p.m. rush hour.
Wow.
Dozens of cars plunged into the freezing water of the river. The tragedy killed 46, and two of those were never found. People had spotted the Mothman on the bridge that day, and they believed that he'd caused the accident. Others thought he had been there as a bad omen. Either way, the Mothman was never seen again at Point Pleasant after the bridge collapse. In reality, the bridge had been built in 1928 and had never been maintained properly. Cars becoming heavier was never taken into account, and sadly, eventually something had to give. I think the Mothman, if anything, was there as a warning. After the tragedy, the Mothman was never seen again. In fact, most bizarre activity seemed to be stopped. It's almost like a portal of weirdness had opened up, and once the bridge collapsed, it closed up again. And that's the story of Point Pleasant.
Weird.
So odd. So odd.
And tragic. All those people. Yeah.
Awful.
Awful. Awful. Yeah, so sad.
At Christmas time as well.
Yeah.
Right? They're all going home after their Christmas shopping. And
just not expecting the bridge to collapse.
No. It does make you wonder, though, like, do these portals exist? Because do you remember Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That had a load of weird shit going on all the time. That was all UFOs and weird creatures and ghosts and just... It does make you wonder, like, does the veil get a bit thin?
I reckon so.
And then it breaks back again.
It fixes itself. Yeah. I think there's something, I don't know if it's interdimensional or I don't know what it is, but it's very bizarre. Because there isn't a particular link between Indrid Cold, the grinning man, the Mothman, the poltergeists. There's no link between them. You know, it's not like they're working together. It's just all around at the same time. Very odd.
Yeah. Well, it's like a lot of things from nothing to all of a sudden so much.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. I'm done.
Thanks, babe. That was great.
You're welcome, darling. You're welcome. I do, just before we let people go, we had somebody comment on Spotify. So just a reminder for everybody on Spotify, you can directly comment on each episode you listen to. If you enjoyed it, you can leave us a nice comment. If you didn't, you can leave us a not nice comment, although I would very much prefer if you didn't.
We'll hiss at you if you do.
Yeah, you know.
I might hiss at you if you do. Yeah, yeah. But one lady, I can't remember her name, she said that the episode was great. It was about Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd mispronounced Johanna. No, Johanna. Oh, I can't remember now. I'd mispronounced. Do you remember Joanna?
Yeah.
I was calling her Joanna and it's not Joanna. There's an H Joanna. In it. So I think it's Johanna.
Johanna.
Oh,
okay. All right.
So I'm very sorry for mispronouncing it, and I've probably still got it wrong again, but mispronouncing stuff occurs regularly with us.
Oh, I'm terrible. Terrible. I don't do it on purpose. It's just hard.
Well, no.
Even if we look it up, I'll forget by the time we get to the podcast.
I also
record quite late.
Not to lie. Obviously, like, it can happen. People mispronounce things. But I do think when you're bilingual, it's really hard at times because you look at a word and you're like, oh, like, what language am I pronouncing that in? or a name.
Yeah, and if it's not...
That's yeah. very true, actually.
Yeah, and if it's not English or French, like English UK or French, if it's like a different, you know, like in America you pronounce words different slightly to the UK as well, I'll get it wrong then.
Yeah.
As well, sometimes pronunciation, it just depends where you're from.
But I should have known because there's a famous song that Bobby Mackie actually wrote about Johanna.
Oh, okay.
Johanna.
Yeah.
So I should have known anyway. I'm sorry about that. And John, thank you very much. Message me about the Pudgett Sound from the Men in Black episode last time, because I didn't know if it was a sea, a river or something. And it was a very complex definition, to be fair, but it was definitely something to do with water. So there we go. Right, I'm good to go now.
Lovely. Well, thanks everyone for listening. You can catch us at all the usual places, Instagram, Facebook, I believe we're on X, and you can email any of your stories, any gross stories, anything. We want to hear it all. Yeah, so get in touch. We love hearing from you.
I do link all our social media and our email in each description of every episode.
There you go. You can listen to us at all the usual places as well. Talk about us to your friends. If they don't listen on one platform, they'll be sure to be able to get us on another platform. So please keep talking about us. Let's grow this. Share with your friends. Share with your family. Share with the people you don't like. We want them all to hear us. So in the meantime, stay safe.
Don't kill people.
And keep it weird.
Bye.
So yeah, the police arrived. But yeah, I am turning into an old witch that meows and hisses at people with my grey hair, my Cruella de Vil hair.
Oh, well, the next step is a gingerbread house. That'll be really fun. I can't wait to come and visit you.
I'll shove you in the oven, though.
You have to fatten me up first.
You're so weird.
Why did you say that so sexually? I'll shove you in the oven.
Cook you up and eat you.